Welcome to the Casual Author Podcast. I'm Dan, sci-fi and fantasy author, father of six, full-time worker, homesteader, as well as a man of many other responsibilities. I'm here to bring you inspiration and positivity around having a busy life and wanting to chase that author career, even if you have to take a casual approach. For more information about me, my books, and the podcast, head to dankenner.com/podcast. And here's the show. Hey there, it's Dan Kenner with episode number 110 of the podcast. Today we're talking to Joanna Penn about tips for entrepreneur-minded authors. We go into what you should and should be doing according to yourself and your own strategy. We talk about how you consume media should be the way that you also share your media or your entertainment, your writing. And we also talk about prioritization, which is something that's very, very important for all of us, particularly those of us that have, you know, a more casual approach to our authoring. Everything has to be prioritized. So yeah, once again, Joanna Penn has a podcast called The Creative Penn. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I highly recommend that. I have listened to it for years and definitely enjoyed the conversation. So you want to stick around for that. I did fail to mention that today is Monday, March 11th, 2024, just for reference for those of you who are listening in the future. But yeah, in terms of updates, I feel like a lot has happened this week, but at the same time, not a lot has moved in terms of updates. So we'll try to distill everything in as clear and efficient way as possible. So in terms of my authoring, there's a lot going on. I'm shifting my strategy a little bit in terms of how I want to sell to my readers, to any of you that are listening. And that is, I'm putting more of a focus on direct sales. And that is, as of late, I woke up to a little bit of a disappointing information. I was looking at my Amazon ads that I've got running, and they're fine. I mean, I'm still trying to figure those out. But I looked at the actual listing for my first book, Awakened, and Amazon had removed some reviews for who knows what reason. I mean, I don't think there were, I'm not gamifying any of my reviews. I'm not asking people for reviews for money or anything. So I don't understand why they removed them, but they decided they were just going to remove a bunch of reviews. So that frustrated me. Obviously, I can't control it. It's their platform. They could do whatever they want. But that told me, you know what? I really am relying too much on Amazon today. I have all my books published wide. So I've never been exclusive with Amazon, say for like maybe 90 days and determined that wasn't for me. But I'm setting everything up on Book Vault and connecting it to a currently PayHip store. Ultimately, I would like to do a Shopify store, but you know, the PayHip is going to make sense for me financially as well as just logistically today. So I've been uploading all my books to Book Vault. And if you go to my website, dankenner.com/shop, I believe is what it is. I'll link it in the space below the show notes. But if you want to take a look at that, then you'll be able to see some of my books going up. You can buy directly from me through Book Vault if you'd like. So that is a fun strategy shift. In terms of actual writing, I am trying to wrap up my short story, which I'm calling Spirit Walkers. So this is for the Writers of the Future competition. I've been entering it for the past few quarters and just had fun. I mean, I've gotten silver honorable mentions, which I think I've heard is a very esteemed award. It's not technically winning the competition, but so far they've liked what I've submitted, which is great. More of it is just trying to build a backlog of short stories that I can then make use of either via for free to join my email list, or I might compile them all and create like a novella short stories collection at some point, maybe in a year or two. But anyway, I'm just having fun. I'm really enjoying that. But I was so proud that I got it to only 14,000 words. The limit is 17,000. I was thinking, yes, I have so much leeway that I didn't need to use. False. I talked to my writers group and they were like, you need to add a few things here and here, some more suggestions. And after all of those edits, it did come back to around 16.5. So not as far away from 17,000 as I originally hoped, but you know, it's under the limit, so who cares? Anyway, I'm really enjoying that story. It's a little bit of a narrative on angels and demons, and the the stealing of human agency, which is a big component to a lot of religions. You know, we have the agency to choose and act for ourselves. What happens if that is being challenged? So, a really fun story. My writers group said they were not expecting it at all. It's a much different type of story than I've ever written, but it is now almost done. I'm just going to run it through pre-writing it, and we'll see how that goes. So yeah, I believe that's it in terms of writing updates. Other than those of you who are listening, if you are interested in getting early access to these short stories or the books that I'm working on, I am in flight on a couple projects, a YA project as well as an epic fantasy project. You can actually get early access. So I'll put a link to it in my show notes. So it's via Ream. It's a kind of an interesting thing that I've just delved into. But yeah, you can get early access to my chapters if that's something that you want to check out. Now, Homestead news. I feel like, once again, a lot happened, but it was more because of chaotic goat behavior than anything. So this last week, we had to give our goats copper. So if you don't know anything about goats, their health depends on a healthy amount of copper in their systems. Yes, like the metal copper. And you have to buy these what are called copper boluses. It's just essentially a pill casing, big pill casing filled with these little rods of copper. And trying to get the goats to take them is a pain because goats, I mean, it's like any animal or child, they don't want to take their medicine. They're very stubborn. They clamp their mouths down. So we had a little bit of fun trying to get those goats to eat it. Now, a couple of the goats are really, they behave very well. So we put a little bit of molasses covered grain. It's like a treat to them. We give it to them when they're in milk because it helps keep their milk in supply and creamy and healthy. But it's a treat to them. So we open up the pill casings and poured it in some containers, some feed pans, and then sprinkled some of that grain on top of it. Now, a couple of the goats that really liked that grain just licked it right up, gone, like super easy. But there were also three or four of them that refused. They didn't want to eat the grain for whatever reason. And so we had to, I won't go into too much detail, but you have to pretty much pin them down and get what's called a bolus gun. It sounds scarier than it actually is. It's pretty much just like a rod with a plunger. It doesn't look like a gun at all. I don't know why they call it that. And then you kind of have to shove it to the back of the goat's mouth and pretty much plunge this pill down their throat. Not a fun experience for anybody. I do not recommend. But at the same time, they need it because they're not healthy without their copper supplement. Now, we only had to do that a couple times with varying success. One of the goats kept, you know, spitting it out and chewing it and breaking the pill everywhere, which is not great. And then one of them went down easier than I expected, but she was mad at me. I mean, understandably, though, she did not want that to happen. We made peace. She doesn't hate me anymore, but at the time, definitely not friends. And then we also give them, once again, their vitamin E supplement. That one also goes down relatively successfully, depending on the goat. It's sweet. I mean, it tastes like candy, I'm assuming. I haven't tasted it, but it smells like sugar. And based on the ingredients, the content list, surely it's very sweet. In any case, that was fun. That's what we had to do last Saturday, in addition to cleaning out animal pens. Well, I say cleaning out loosely. We do the deep litter method. It's just every week we add some fresh bedding and it's called sweet PDZ, some stall freshener. It just kind of keeps the smell and the ammonium down to lower levels. And then we do twice a year cleanup. So we'll take everything out back down to the ground, put a little bit layer, and then we can do the buildup again. So it works for us, but that was this last weekend. And the kids are enjoying the last little bits of snow. There is some more snow in the forecast, but nothing like we got recently. And now we're seeing more, you know, upper temperatures, above freezing temperatures, almost spring-like weather, which is great. Because that's what we had before this weird blizzard that came. So the kids have been having a blast. They've been outside sledding, building snowmen in the wet snow. And yeah, just having a blast. And it's really good to see them. I'm glad that they can go outside and play. Grateful that they have all of that time and that they're enjoying what they can while they're outside. Let's see, other homestead updates. No, I don't believe so, other than we are drowning in eggs again. I know I talked about this a few weeks ago. We managed to get our egg population under control, and now they've all started laying again, which no complaints. But I believe we have about 98 eggs currently upstairs sitting on our counter, so we're going to be preserving those. So that is the next objective, is make sure that we don't waste any eggs. They do last a while on the counters, but when we're getting anywhere from 18 to 25 per day, we used to be able to keep up on it when it was more like 12 a day, maybe 11, 12. They wouldn't build up too much, but we're too far behind now. So let's see, I believe that's everything in terms of updates for this week. So we can go ahead and shift over to the interview portion with Joanna. Hey, Joe, how are you doing today?
Oh, good. Thanks, Dan. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad for you to be here as well. Honestly, I am thrilled to have you. I've been listening to your podcast for years and years, and honestly, it never occurred to me, let's see if we can have Joanna Penn join us today. So I'm really thrilled to have you. But I always love to start out, how long have you been writing and publishing books?
Yes, well, I started writing seriously for publication around 2006. I was like, okay, I'm going to actually write a book. And I self-published How to Enjoy Your Job or Find a New One in late 2007. And then into 2008, this was sort of very, very early days of self-publishing. And I did the print books. I had them in my garage and I was trying to sell them. And it was all kind of crazy. That was also the year that Amazon launched the Kindle, that the iPhone came out, 2007. And the whole world was changing in terms of publishing, and print on demand started to happen. So in 2008, I started the Creative Pen. 2009, started my podcast. So I've been going a long time. And then a few years later, in 2009, I also did NaNoWriMo. So I wrote my first, the beginning of my first novel, which eventually became Stone of Fire. So I've been doing this a while now, but yeah, it was kind of way back in 2006. It's all coming up for, I guess, 18 years and 15 years of being published.
You know, it's incredible how fast time goes. And I found that as I've immersed myself in publishing like that, it just goes faster. So,
you've got so many children and such a busy life. I don't know how you get everything done.
I don't. That's the first thing I tell people, is I don't get everything done. And you just kind of have to accept that to a degree, right? It comes down to picking what's going to get done in this very moment and accepting that, you know. But, you know, it's incredible the things you've created. Like I said, I've really enjoyed your podcast. I'd love to kind of digest or learn your decision around predominantly self-publishing as opposed to querying and seeking only to traditionally publish. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, when I wrote that first book, I wrote it first and then I looked at the publishing industry, and I was living in Brisbane, Australia at the time. I'd run my own businesses for over a decade at that point, various different businesses. And I looked at the amount of time it would take to first get an agent and then get a publisher. And then I looked at the Australian book market, which is around 25 million people in the whole of Australia. I might be a little off, but it's, you know, compared to America, which I think is 600 million, something like that. I mean, it's a big, big country, Australia, but with not many people. And of course, not all those people will buy books. So I looked at it and went, this is crazy. I can't even reach that many people here. And as I said, at the time, the technology was changing and I started to realize that I could sell my eBooks, which were a new thing. It was kind of downloadable PDFs before that. And I was like, whoa, you could put an eBook on this phone thing and someone in America could buy it. And at the time, Smashwords was the only company allowing non-American authors to publish. You couldn't even publish on KDP as a non-American author back then. I mean, things get better and better and better for creatives every single year. But I was like, oh, this is like really cool. And I decided to experiment with that. I was desperate to buy ebooks myself because print books in Australia are so expensive. So, and I'm a voracious reader. So I was like, I really need to get these ebook things that are sort of a third of the price of print books in Australia. So basically, I learned that the traditional publishing route in Australia in particular was just going to take too long. So I experimented. And then over time, I guess since I've always run my own business, when I moved back to the UK in 2011, I have looked several times and I still am not writing off pitching agents and publishers in the English language, but I do have foreign rights deals. I've done some audio deals. So yeah, I do work with traditional publishing houses in different languages. So I'm not an either or person. You know, you don't have to be now. You can license different rights. But yeah, I guess I always ran my own business, so it just made sense to me from the beginning.
Yeah, the whole ebook thing. I was in my, I think I was in my teenage years when all of that happened. I was so stubborn to not go to ebooks. I was like, no, I'm gonna have all of the physical books. That's what I prefer. And then I became a dad and realized, you know, carrying around a book is just, it's not gonna happen. I mean, you've got a kid in one arm, and so ebooks all the way. I'm all for that.
Yeah, or of course, digital audiobooks were not available, and podcasts were
That's
hardly
right.
even called podcasts. I mean, it's so crazy how technology has changed, even in the 15 years since I've been sort of doing all this. And yeah, I guess also in terms of running your own business, I always decided that I wanted to leave my job and become a full-time creative. At the time, I was going to be a professional speaker as my primary income, with books as a kind of secondary income. And so I was like, okay, so I need to make more money per copy of the book, and the best way to do that is to publish them yourself. And that's still true even now, that if you publish yourself, you can get much higher income per book sold. But of course, as you know, also you have to learn all the skills and do it yourself. So I used to think that everyone could be a successful independent author, but now I think that you have to have a certain personality type, which is you have to want to learn. So you have to always learn new stuff. I mean, you know, I don't have a degree in writing or publishing or marketing or technology or any of that. My degree's in theology, which you know, is quite different. And so I have to keep learning. So that's one attitude you need. And the other attitude is you do need to have a healthy dose of wanting to control things. So yeah, I mean, you probably recognize those personality traits in yourself as well.
Absolutely, and all of those things, yeah, I think that describes myself very well. And all of the extras, the positive extras, I'll say, on the side of my kids and the homestead, you know, they just provide an even more interesting challenge to reaching that goal. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, I would love to get there. You know, I'm imagining this world where, this is going to sound so terrible because I have nothing against corporations or anything, but working for the man, so to speak, right? It would be really nice to be able to kind of control your environment a little bit more. But yeah, that was part of the reason I chose to self-publish as well. I looked at the querying process and said, you know, I wrote exactly two query letters and thought, this isn't for me. I don't think I like this process. And even if I were to get a traditional deal, would it be worth it having written potentially hundreds of query letters? And the answer was no for me. It's like, I'd rather just
Yeah, and
get into the
I
writing
think the
and own that.
yeah, sorry, I think the energy is also different. It's like the way
Yeah.
you said that, I felt the same thing, which was you write this query letter, and then the there's a power differential going on there, which is pick me, you know, am I good
It's
enough?
true.
Can I say the right thing? So someone will choose me, and the empowerment of the independent author is, here I am, here's my book, and I'm going to learn how to do all the stuff, and some people will buy it, and if they don't, I'll try something else and I'll keep going. And what's so interesting is, of course, the more successful you become as an independent author, the more you get publishers and agents coming to you anyway. So the power differential also switches, which I think is more fun on the other side.
Well, I had more fun and more fulfilling. I mean, it's hard to say. I can't say it's more fulfilling because I haven't done the other side, right? I mean, I can't speak with experience, but you know, there are a lot of factors. When I talk to people, they ask me, "Well, why did you decide to go independent? What's the pros and cons?" I was like, "Well, I can give you intellectually what I see the pros and cons to be, but once again, I'm not technically traditionally published. I co-authored a set of books, a middle grade trilogy with a publishing owner, actually. It's kind of like a small indie press, but the model is similar to traditional in terms of royalty payout and everything. And while that experience was fun, I definitely don't regret it. It definitely reminded me I do enjoy publishing myself. Now there's a lot of fulfillment that comes from that. So, but I know you've co-authored some books yourself. In fact, I remember reading one of the Relaxed Author, I believe you co-authored
Yes.
with Mark Leslie Lefebvre. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And it's so funny because I've co-written a few, and there was Risen Gods with Jay Thorne. And then we did Authors on a Train, Jay and Zach Bohannon and Lindsay Baroka and me. We got a train from Chicago to New Orleans,
That's
and
fun.
we co-wrote a book together, American Demon Hunters Sacrifice, and about which is essentially on the train that we traveled on. And we did that in a week. And it was mad. It was an amazing trip. But that and my other co I've also co-written The Healthy Writer with Dr. Ewan Lawson, a medical doctor. So all of these situations have been good for me, but in the end I realized that I'm a creator because I want to create what's in my mind, and I'm not very good at compromising. So, and like Mark LaFave, for example, what was so funny, and we've talked about it on my show, so he'll laugh if he hears this. But when we work together, we realized that we work so differently, and because we get on very well in person, and I, we've been friends for over a decade. We just assumed it would be easy to work together, but his process is so different to mine, and we just didn't know it before we started working together. And so I do think, again, as part of, I mean, many authors do very well with co-writing, and I think there's a process there that they have figured out with people that it works with. I just don't find that that's for me, but I guess it's a way of getting more done. As you know, you have a partner, wife, presumably, with all your children, and to have two people involved in your homestead project, for example, it's necessary. But yeah, with my writing, I think I'm too much of a control freak to be a good co-writer. Never say never, of course.
Well, I mean, it's so funny hearing you say that because I see elements of myself as well in that process. Because when I went to co-write, my co-author suggested, "Hey, have you ever co-written? Is that something you've considered?" And the answer was no. But I'm willing to try. We just had to have like a level set conversation. Okay, in all seriousness, this is what my writing process is. Is that a problem for you? Because if it is, and maybe this isn't going to work out. And same, she had some things like, well, this is how it works for me. We decided, actually, that's not a problem for either of us. Let's just dive in. And there wasn't a ton of friction other than she wanted to plan more than me. So I'm just, like I said, I don't. There's something about the creative discovery process that just sucks me into it, that gets me really into the story. And if we plan too much, I kind of lose interest. It's kind of sad to say that,
No,
but
me too. I don't,
and
as you know, I'm a discovery writer,
I,
so yeah, don't do that.
and so it was kind of funny. I think I pulled her, we kind of met in the middle a little bit, but I pulled her towards the discovery writing more so. And I just said, look, this is how I function. We have a basic premise. I will write the first chapter, and you read that chapter and write the next one, and I'll read that and just write the next one. And it was so much fun. It went a direction neither of us planned for, but we just had a blast.
Oh, good.
So there's something about co-authoring that, yeah, just kind of level set, be aware of that before you dive into the process. But I enjoyed your books. I couldn't even tell the potential friction that you might have experienced
Well, I
already.
think, yeah, I mean, but the all and they're all guys, except for, I mean, Lindsay was one of four, but
Right.
I'm just the bossy one.
Yeah.
So they just did what they were told, and I did the editing.
Joanna said something. Just follow directions.
Yeah, basically, but no, we all have our skills and our pros and cons, and I guess my character and yours and people listening who want to be independently published. Actually, this was another thing, and I was at this writing conference on this stage once. It was London Book Fair, actually. It was a big conference, and they had me on the stage with some agents and publishers, and they were sort of doing this pros and cons thing of indie and trad, and I had this whole thing I'd prepared, and then I just said to the audience, I just ditched it, and I said, "Look, how do you feel? Are you excited about self-publishing? Are you excited about putting your books in the world? Are you excited about reaching readers? Go where the energy takes you." And I said, "There'll be people listening to me right now who don't want anything to do with this, and there'll be people listening right now who are like, yeah, bring it on." And the people listening to this show obviously have chosen this route as well. But I think that's what I would say to people, that energy around the way you write, the way you publish, the way you market as well is so important. And I mean, like, this show is about people who have other things going on, and I think that's got to be true of a lot of other things in life. How much of your energy, we only have a certain number of hours, a certain amount of energy, where does that go? So you mentioned doing this stall, this fair on your last episode. I listened to, well, as we record this, I listened to the introduction, and you said how tiring it was to do a stall at a fair. And I was like, yeah, I know that feeling, which is why I'm never doing it, because my energy, I just need to prevent myself from feeling that low. And yet when I speak, I have to then take time out to recover and all that kind of thing. So it is about knowing yourself and following that energy.
So I love that. And that is a perfect description of how, there's a lot of people that they feel like all of the parts of their life are just conflicting with each other, right? You're an author, whether you've got a full-time job, you've got a family, you have lots of animals, or you've got other interests or whatnot. It really comes down to, like you said, knowing yourself and knowing what you can put into each of those and just accepting, I guess not being jealous necessarily of not being able to focus everything into one area, right? Everything kind of works together and they can work together to create this beautiful whole. But yeah, in terms of the book fair, I probably won't do that again. Transparently, I got a little bit coerced in a positive way to do it. My writing group,
It's
someone
good
was
to
like,
try.
yeah, it
It's
was
good to try.
perfect. Definitely don't regret it. But, my wife said, well, are you thinking about doing it again? Probably not, right? I think I prefer, more one-on-one settings when I'm having conversations. I feel more comfortable with that. And social media is makes me feel the same way that a conference did sometimes, right? Particular, I know you're not a TikTok person, which
Nope.
awesome. First of all, I'll just say I think that's great that you've accepted that. But and that's part of the reason I admire you because you're like, eh, social media, it's there and it works for some people, but I recognize that my energy is not going to go into that.
Well,
So,
I think that's kind of part of the thinking about what you can do, and to have a not to do list that you start. So I use the Things app, which is on my phone and on my Mac here, and I have a not to do list. And every time I discover something where I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again, I put on my not to do. So I'll give you an example. A few years back, and again, I don't regret it, I helped my mum publish some sweet romance
oh, that's
under
right, yeah.
Penny Appleton, and there are five books out under Penny Appleton, and I'm really grateful that I had a chance to help my mum, but I'm not a romance writer, and I had to twist myself into things to help her and then also publish her, and she does no marketing or whatever. So that, and I put on my list, okay, I love my fa I also help my dad self-publish, I help my
Oh,
niece
cool.
self-publish, and I want to help my family, right? But I did write down, do not co-write with family, and do not write sweet romance. It was like, okay, that's good. And then even on the live events, so for example, I get asked to do a lot of these summits, online summits, like literally every single day someone's asking for a summit, and I'm like, okay, I don't do summits, like that's another rule. It's different doing a podcast, like you say, the one-on-one thing. I don't have to prepare, I can come and we can have a chat, and it's all good. And also, so on my speaking, I say I don't travel unless it's a place I want to go to speak to people who I'm interested in speaking to, where there's also networking opportunities. So, for example, I will be speaking in Las Vegas, which is not necessarily somewhere I want to go again, but at Author Nation this November, as we record this, Author Nation is, I think, a very valuable conference, and it is worth the introvert pain and the sensitivity pain to go to that conference. So there's something that might push, what will push me out of my comfort zone. If you go, it'll push you out of your comfort zone, but that it's worth going.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Author Nation from your past podcast and very excited about the prospect of going. I don't know. I'd like to see if I can make it happen this year, but first off, I've never heard the not to do list idea. And that is exactly something I need. Because, it's one of those things where you think you'll remember, oh yeah, I'll remember next time that I'm not gonna do that, whatever it is. But then, I think having that list is more solidified. I find myself falling into things that I said I wouldn't do, like TikTok, coincidentally. I tell myself continuously, why am I doing this? I don't like it.
Well,
This
I
isn't
tell you
working
why
for
you
me.
do it. It's because there is the pressure, because everyone says it
Yeah, that's
works
true.
really well. And the fact is, TikTok does work really well for some people and does sell lots of books. And I think it's just a case of picking your strong area. And obviously, We're doing some video right now, but it's long form video. And so for me, it's not just TikTok, it's Reels, it's
True. Yeah.
YouTube Shorts, it's any of the short form video. And the reason why is because I consume long form content. So I listen to audiobooks, I listen to long podcasts. I don't watch hardly any video at all unless it's like TV with my husband. I don't watch YouTube. I don't I don't watch anything like that. I listen to everything. And then I write books and I read books and that kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, to be very good at something, you have to consume it. So if you want to be good at TikTok, you have to consume TikTok. And I, from what I've heard, you respond to things that are climbing whatever the algorithm is, and you do different music and blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, I don't do that. Also, I'm kind of I don't tend to do live stuff or immediate stuff, so I'm not going to look at something and respond in real time or anything like that. I need time to think about things. So you just, again, it's about knowing yourself, recognizing your strengths, and leaning into that rather than trying to jump on every single thing that comes along. Now, of course, people listening, if you love video and you love TikTok and you love Reels and you love that, for sure, go do that. Don't run a podcast like us, which is a commitment, probably just as much time as doing five TikToks a day, is doing long form podcasts every week, right?
Yeah.
But you just have to choose, you have to do marketing, you have to, but you get to choose what that is. But just don't try and do everything. Recipe for
That,
disaster.
and then I've heard you say that before, and once again, it's one of those things that logically and intellectually you understand, but there's something about the pressure and, this draw towards what's working for someone else. Even, it might not work for you, but I think you're being very generous when you say that you could make five TikTok videos in the course of a podcast. I hear of some people who take upwards of 2 hours to make one short form TikTok video because they just want it to be perfect. And, it just
Well,
feels
good
a
on
little
them if
bit,
that's what they want to
yeah.
do with their time. But I don't want to scroll TikTok as a consumer, so I therefore I am not going to produce for it. Another example is I get a lot of email, and I get a lot of email right now from people who say, oh, should I just do not subscription, the serial, should I write
Oh,
serial
yeah.
fiction, so should I do Kindle Vella or should I do this, that and the other? And I'm like, well, do you read serial fiction? And they're like, no, so don't do it. Or so every and like genres, so you write science fiction, fantasy. I don't read science fiction. I've read a few, but it's not really something I read. I do read a lot of fa fantasy. I read horror, I read the darker stuff, and so I write what I love to read. And again, I think you have to do that. And you can definitely achieve short-term success by forcing yourself into some box that other people construct for you. You must do this, you must do that. This sells, that's the way to do it, blah, blah, blah. But you won't be able to sustain that. And I think with the casual author, which I like the relaxed author, is this, it has to be sustainable. The only reason I'm still here when so many people have left the industry, and a lot of people have, writers and podcasters and all that, is that I don't do a lot of the stuff that I should do. And I write pretty casually, to be honest. I don't do high volume publishing. I don't write to market. I don't force myself into things I hate. So again, that's probably a tip to stay casual, keep it long term, and just focus on things that you enjoy and that fit your character.
It's funny hearing you say that because I've never thought about that before. I mean, you've said it in similar terms before, but I don't consume TikTok. I don't consume Reels. I don't enjoy it. I find myself getting a little bit anxious if I ever do scroll through short videos. I don't know if it's like doom scrolling, as you call it, or what, but so I don't know why. I continue to think I should keep trying TikTok. Maybe it'll work for me. No, I don't like making that stuff. I don't like consuming it. So, which makes sense why podcasting is something, because I've been listening to podcasts for years, not just yours, but I listen to other author podcasts. I don't consume YouTube videos, which explains why I tried a YouTube channel for a hot second and thought, yeah, this isn't be it just it explains why some of these things haven't stuck, because I think they just don't bolster the energies. You were talking about energies before, the inner knowing your energies, and it's incredible what energies don't match can often suck away from that energy that you have. So, an interesting thing to keep in mind. So something that I am curious to know about, because we both have busy lives in very different ways, which is incredible. I always love to hear your or other people's take on prioritization, right? Because we're having to pri every person in this world has to prioritize to some degree. But for you, how do you treat prioritization of all the various things that you have to take care of for your life and your business?
Yeah, so I think that coming back to the sort of the definition of success, I mean, some of the reasons people publish, like I said at the beginning, I wanted to leave my job and as an IT consultant and become a full-time author entrepreneur. So I, at the beginning, I prioritized doing that, which is why I started out doing more services, so speaking, doing workshops, doing courses, all of that, whilst I built up my backlist of my books. So in terms of prioritization, you have to keep that in mind, which is what is your definition of success? Now I've got a pretty stable business. So I focus on what I've got on my wall here, which is measure your life by what you create, which is I made that poster at a letterpress workshop. And so now I think about what do I want to create with my very short life that we have, and what are the books that I must write that only I can write. So as a person of faith, you'll understand my book Pilgrimage, which although we believe different things, I think the sort of the feeling of I need to go for a really long walk and think about divine things and figure out my life. Pilgrimage was a book I had to write because it kind of bubbled up inside me. So when that book wanted to emerge into the world, that was my priority. So I guess in terms of a more practical sense, I only have one overarching priority at any one time, and then that's usually a book. So that will be my creative block of time. So for example, today I got up and I wrote another chapter of Spear of Destiny, which is my next arcane thriller. And so that is my creative block of time. And then in the afternoon, like right now, we're in my afternoon, I do marketing. So I do podcasts. I do my own podcast. I do email. I was prepping an overview for a screenplay pitch. This kind of thing is what I do in the afternoon. So practically for thinking about it is like, what is the thing you want to achieve? And then that goes in your creative block of time. And then your other block of time is for marketing, business, learning, other stuff. And I've always had it that the morning block is creative and the afternoon or evening block is business and marketing. And when I had a day job for 5 years, I got up at 5 a.m., I wrote in the morning. And then when I got home, I would do the business stuff. So again, whether you've got 20 minutes or whether you've got 4 hours, then for me it's the same rhythm: morning creative, afternoon evening business. And you need both if you want to be a full-time author. But obviously with your show, the casual author is you don't need to make a full-time living from your writing. So it may be that you decide, okay, I just want to get my book out into the world, then don't bother learning the marketing, for example. I don't know. I mean, you have a job and all your other things. So do you even think too much about marketing? Do you care about prioritizing that?
Ooh, that's a tricky question. I don't know if I should answer, do I care about it? I think I do. So I do spend a little bit of time on marketing, and I'm trying to identify, I think you've mentioned this before, if I've heard this principle before. What can you do with a little amount of time that you have to get the most return out of it in terms of marketing, right? And so I have dabbled in Amazon ads. I've tried the TikTok thing, and I think I've come to the conclusion that it's just not for me. I think, I do have a full-time job, which currently is funding this, what I like to call hobby, of authoring. But I'm reached that point where I need to get over the hump of, okay, now I need to start figuring out how to generate some of that revenue. So I am thinking about it. I just have a very short amount of time per day to put into it. And so it really becomes just very critical in terms of, all right, what are various marketing options? And realistically, what can I do in 30 minutes, say today, this evening? Or what can I, I can put up some more Amazon ads, perhaps, or I can check the metrics in one just to see how they're performing and come up with other ideas. Or, maybe I can spend 10 minutes making this TikTok video and putting it up there. So, it's kind of the same principle as you, just squished right into shorter amounts of time.
What I would say, the most important thing is an email list. So do you have an email list?
I do, and I do email them every other week.
Okay,
I'm
well,
not convinced that it's good, but
Well, I actually think in your situation, the email list is the thing that you want to grow. And meanwhile, you're writing your books and maybe, like you say, I mean, Amazon auto ads, that's all I have now on a few of my books. So I only look at them once a month. I just let the algorithm do its thing. But the email list is the most important thing. So, and for the listeners, I've done a couple of Kickstarters. I'm doing another one. I have my own Shopify store. So I'm now trying to focus people on buying from me directly, which again makes you more money per book. And most of this marketing now is my email list. I have two, one for fiction, one for nonfiction. And all the time I've spent over the years, so for example, Twitter, I was pretty active on Twitter for maybe over a decade. And then, of course, in the last 18 months as we speak, it has changed completely. So was that time wasted? I don't think so. But one of the best things I did was direct people to my email list. So there are people who met me on Twitter a decade ago and who are still on my email list. So this is what we need to remember is TikTok will, I can tell you, it will disappear or but something new will arrive. That is the way it works. I remember when YouTube was the big thing and all the YouTubers were getting book deals and this happens. These new things arrive and things change. So if you're big on TikTok right now, make sure you're capturing emails. And I'm talking to the listeners, not you, but capturing email is the most important thing for a long-term career. So if I was you, with the little time I had, I would concentrate on building that backlist, becoming a better at your craft so that more people want your books, and then just doing some very passive advertising. And then when you're ready to spend a bit more time on it, you're going to be able to talk to people who actually care about you and your books. So here's a question. Do you include, I don't know, pictures of your homestead and your life in your emails?
I do. I don't include pictures of my kids just because we're a
No,
very
I
private
wasn't, I wouldn't
family.
expect that.
But yes, I do provide pictures of goats, and chickens and whatever we're doing at the time. Because that's just part of my life. I try to add elements of that to kind of like the intro to my podcast. It's like a summarizing condensed form that I put in my email list. But I know, one thing that you have that's beneficial is you kind of have not, I don't think at this time I can currently have two email lists, but I have my podcast and my writing updates and homestead updates kind of all packaged into one. So I don't know if that's effective or not, but that's what I have been doing.
Well, you will always lose people along the way, but I think the most important thing in this era of AI, and as you know, I'm very positive about, mostly positive about AI, but one of the things it means is that there's going to be a heck of a lot of kind of AI bot created stuff out there. There might be generate to markets, which I think will become a thing. And the most important aspect for us is to connect with people as people. So be as weird as you can be and be yourself. And from reading about you, I was like, okay, this guy is quite unusual in terms of what you do. So yeah, I would, if I were you, I would talk about the homestead. You can talk about having kids, you don't have to use pictures of them, but also do you talk about your faith, for example, and that side of your
I
life?
don't really, coincidentally. I think mainly the only reason I don't is a general negative sentiment towards the idea. I mean, it's a very important part of my life, but I guess I just don't want to put any bad taste in people's mouth unnecessarily.
And this is important because if someone has a bad taste in their mouth when you mention God, then they are not your audience and you
True.
don't want
Okay.
them in
That's a
your
good point.
audience. And I think this is really important. We've got to turn people off as much as we want to attract people to us.
That's a good point.
And this is something that you only learn after a number of years. But I think it's super, super important. If people don't like, if people by now either like you and they like me or they've turned off,
Sure.
and when, and so I would say also a lot of people believe in God, whatever religion they are or whatever faith they are. I'm not personally a Christian, as you know, but I love people of faith and I'm fascinated by it. And I'm always interested in what people have to say about their feelings and experiences around faith. And so you get people who are, you know, along the spectrum. But of course, anyone who hates it, well, then they can go and find someone else. So I would urge you to maybe make that a part of your story, because as you also, it explains why you have so many children.
Yeah, yes, definitely. I think
As quite a
ironically,
young guy, to be honest.
well, I look younger than I actually am, I will say that. I have a young face. That's what this is for, honestly.
A
The
young face,
beard.
that's an asset.
I that's what they tell me. But I was that high schooler who people ask what elementary school I went to. I looked so young. I'll have to send you some pictures sometime. But I appreciate the advice because, it as humans, we fear that rejection. We fear that the dislike from other people, but at the same time, like you said, it's an asset to find your people, find your tribe,
Yes.
so to speak.
Yeah.
And I
And these
need to
big
leverage that.
questions of life are what bring us together as humans. Although I think that generate to market will be a thing, the time when a bot thinks about God or thinks about having children or has animals is a really long way off.
Probably not their first priority.
So I think it's just something to consider, and something I think about a lot right now is, as you know, I say double down on being human. So, and faith, most people have some kind of faith.
True. Yeah,
Even
that's
those
a
who
point.
hate it, that is their faith.
No, that's it. And it's funny because one of my best friends is actually atheist, and we're incredible friends because we respect each other for beliefs. But it's ironic they can be right in front of your face, and until someone tells you, you need to do this, put yourself into your work. I think sometimes we just need to be told that. But I just want to be sensitive to your time. I know we have a lot we could discuss. You mentioned the AI thing. I love your perspective on AI, by the way. And there's a lot of people, especially on TikTok, the controversy is wild there. People are very, very angry against the whole thing, and I'm more, like
Everyone's
yourself.
angry. Let's just stay
Yeah,
away
that's
from
true.
it.
I'm not angry about it. I'm more curious, interested and curious about it. But perhaps sometime we can delve into that. But I always love to ask, where can people find more information about you and your books?
Yes, well, this is a podcast, so you can come over to my podcast, which is The Creative Pen Podcast, pen with a double N. My website for writers is thecreativepenwithadoubleN.com, and my fiction and everything is at jfpen.com. And yeah, that's the name I write fiction and memoir under. So, oh, and I should say I'm on Instagram at jfpenauthor, where you can see pictures of my animals, my two British shorthair cats, Cashew and Noisette, because I am a real human.
Yes, I do love your pictures of your cats. I need to put more pictures. I have cats too, coincidentally, but I don't know that I've ever posted pictures of them.
Well, there you
So,
go. Cat people. Cat people
yes,
love cat pictures.
they really do. And I always forget about that. But I don't know if there's
Yeah,
any
there you
chicken
go.
people out there, but maybe I'll find some chicken
Well, probably
people.
more cat people than chicken people, but I'm sure there are chicken people too.
Yeah, we have chickens. But in any case, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dan.
I hope you found that as exciting and helpful as I did. I know talking to Joanna is just so positive. She's such a happy and positive person. We didn't really get into the AI thing, which only for time reasons. She's very AI positive. I try to be AI positive, but she's definitely using it way more than me. So maybe one of these times I can have her join back and we can talk about AI maybe in a year when things have changed again drastically. But yeah, in terms of being an entrepreneur-minded author, there's a lot of things, decisions that need to be made today, and focusing where your strategy is most important. Once again, do you like consuming X type of media? If so, then maybe that's a good method for you to share. If not, then consider something else that fits in more with you. So next week, we will be talking to JC Youngstrom about how to maximize your time. We talk a little bit about prioritization, as well as planning out your time which is something not very good at. But we also talk about some tips that she has learned in terms of making sure to get everything done within a specified period. So she has like a framework for prioritization, which is very, very helpful. So you want to tune into that. If you'd like to join me for the podcast, definitely head to thecasualauthor.com. There's a form that you can fill out and just tell me more about yourself and what you like to talk about as an author. And I'd love for you to join me. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at dan@thecasualauthor.com. Happy to answer anything that you have. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.